FIS Insider, a premium edition of the Financial Sense News Hour. Today's host is Senior Editor Chris Sheridan.
Well, the markets are very volatile on the day that we're speaking. It is May 5th, and we're a day after the Fed raised their Fed funds rate by 50 basis points. We initially saw a very large rally in the markets, and now we're seeing just the opposite. All those gains being given back. The NASDAQ, as we are speaking, down over 5%, so lots of blood in the market. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty. As Mohamed El-Erian has been saying for quite some time, the Fed has lost control of the narrative, the inflation narrative, the policy narrative, and so expect more volatility, more uncertainty. Joining us on the show today is Justin Smyth from nextbigtrade.com. And today we're going to discuss stage analysis developed by Stan Weinstein and look at what the broad market indices and sectors are showing from a stage analysis perspective. So, Justin, lots of volatility. From a stage analysis perspective, what are you seeing in terms of the broad market indices currently?
Yeah, starting with the broader market, the S&P 500 started weakening in late 2021. We saw a dramatic plunge in January, and then the index has essentially transitioned into stage three, which is a topping phase for most of the first quarter of 2022. The Russell 2000 and the Russell Growth Index, which is the IWM and IWO, had been topping much earlier than the other broad indexes and kind of showed some early weakness in the overall broad market. But then the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite started topping out and followed their way down, especially over the last month or so. We saw the market try to get back above the 30-week moving average briefly in early April, and it wasn't able to hold it and then plunged back lower, which is where we are now. So that 30-week moving average is starting to roll over in a lot of the broad indices, and that's what happens during the final transition into stage four when the market goes into a bear market. So right now, we're seeing volatility below the 30-week moving average. After the Fed news yesterday, there was a big move higher and maybe setting up an undercut rally. But obviously, we're seeing more volatility again today, another big sell-off. And structurally, I think the bulls have more to prove here than the bears, because most of the major indices are rolling into stage four. There's a lot of important sectors that are in stage four, financials being one main one. And a lot of individual stocks aren't really showing any strength that would help bring the market back into a better condition. So that's kind of my broad assessment of the market currently.
Justin, can you give our listeners a brief description of stage analysis and the importance of looking at that 30-week moving average that you discussed?
Definitely. So stage analysis, like you said, was developed by Stan Weinstein in the late 1980s. And it's essentially a longer-term trend-following system for understanding what's going on in the market. And it uses a 30-week moving average as the basis to understand the four different stages that Stan defined that the market goes through. And basically, the weekly price action in relation to the 30-week moving average is what determines what stage you're in. And the stages start out with stage one being a basing phase where the market is going up and down around a sideways moving average. And then when the market moves into a bull market or an uptrend in stage two, you typically see a breakout on volume. And there's other characteristics that tend to happen during a strong breakout into a bull market. But once the market starts trending above a rising 30-week moving average, then the market's moving higher and everybody knows, like, the term of that's basically a bull market. And then obviously at some point markets tend to top out and go through corrections. And the topping process in stage analysis is stage three, where the price action starts to go above and below a sideways moving average again. And which is what we've observed for a lot of 2021 and into 2022. And then finally, when the selling pressure takes over, the market rolls over into stage four, starts declining below a declining 30-week moving average, and that's otherwise known as a bear market as well. So those are the four stages that Stan defined. It's a really simple system, but gives you a really great way to understand what's going on in the markets. And using the rules in his system, it's actually a trading system too. So it It shows you how to buy into stage two breakouts and how to avoid stage four declines based on the rules of the system.
So Justin, how would you be trading the broad market from a stage analysis perspective? And how would you be navigating this currently?
That's a great question. One of my favorite quotes from Stan Weinstein is that when you need to look at the broader market first and see which direction that is going to determine what sectors or what individual stocks you want to trade. And when the broader market is not a tailwind, it's very difficult for any sector or individual stock to fight that trend and move higher. So when the indices move into stage four, it's really a signal to raise cash reserves or start looking at short positions almost exclusively, because it's very hard for anything to fight the overall trend of the market. We did see commodities do that for the first quarter of 2022, but that was also when the market was transitioning into stage three and it was still a little bit of a choppy sideways action. So what we're tending to see right now is actually there's been some failed breakouts in some commodities, and that sector appears to me to be weakening, which again coincides with the fact that the broader indices are also weakening and rolling over into stage four.
I'm looking at your stage analysis screener, and I'll have a link out to that where this interview is located on Financial Sense. So I'd encourage you, all of you, to look at it and just kind of poke through and see how you can dive into all the different sectors as well as the broad market indices and see how they're performing based on a stage analysis perspective. So for example, if I just go to the market section, you've got a whole bunch of areas of the market, very long list. And if you sort by stage two, so this is where you have a bull market, a rising 30-week moving average, and then stocks are above the 30-week moving average. Natural gas is at the top, 100% in stage two. Oil and gas in exploration, 90% in stage two. So it's basically energy all at the very top of that list. And what you want to see, if I have this correct, and feel free to clarify on this, is you want to be investing in stage two sectors or stage two stocks, breakout stocks, and then see if whether or not you're seeing them progress into stage three or stage four. So if you wouldn't mind, kind of tell us a little bit about a sector breakdown and how you use this screener for your own investment purposes.
Definitely. You want the sector strength to be at your back when you're trading from the long side, trading stage two uptrends. And oil and gas stocks have been a leading group for actually 2021. I think they were the top performing group. And of the top 50, I think mid-cap and above stocks, at least half of them were oil and gas stocks. So this trend has been in place for a while. Natural gas has actually been one of the best sectors to trade from the long side this year. There's been a number of stage two breakouts in those stocks that have done well, while the rest of the market hasn't done well. But you're correct. One thing I would say is that you want to catch the breakout phase. You want to get in as early as possible in the stage two breakout. So you need to be mindful of the fact that if you're just looking at it and saying it's in stage two, but it's been in stage two for a long period of time, that means that you're buying it later in the uptrend and there's more potential for it to top out and move into stage three or stage four at that point. So I actually have another feature on my site that shows how many weeks a stock has been in stage two. And you want to target stocks that have been in stage two for, you know, just a couple of weeks, really, to catch the stage two breakout and to be able to benefit from the uptrend. And again, that's the thing about oil and gas stocks here, is that this trend's been in place for a while. I've recently seen a few more oil and gas stocks break out, but I'm also starting to see some oil and gas stocks starting to diverge from the group. And that's a sign, again, that the overall broad market is just putting a lot of downward pressure on everything, including this leading sector that's been in place for quite a while now.
Are there any areas in particular, when you look under the hood of the market, any sectors or asset classes that you're really keyed on from a stage analysis perspective, you think that are in the process of transitioning, you know, either from established uptrend to established downtrend, anything that's really on your radar currently?
I'm seeing more things break down into stage four right now than breaking out, which is, again, goes with the fact that the broader market is so weak. I'm not really observing any new leading sectors right now in the market from a stage two breakout perspective, which, again, that's troublesome. Breaking down into stage four, I noticed that the travel stocks, Expedia, Airbnb, and Booking.com are struggling this week and moving into stage four. Other sectors, including like transports, have recently come under pressure. In terms of commodities, actually, materials tried to break out into a stage two continuation breakout a few weeks ago and failed. Looking at subsectors, in particular, copper and silver both had breakout attempts that failed and moved back below the 30-week moving average. And that's actually a good place to look for shorting opportunities, ironically, is when a breakout fails and moves back below the 30-week moving average. That tells you that there's no buying pressure that has control of that market. And a lot of times you'll get, they call it like a failed move higher turns into a fast move lower. And that's exactly what we've seen in silver in particular. It tried to break out along with gold and broke back below the 30-week moving average. And I think it sold off like 7 or 8 days in a row. So yeah, definitely still seeing more things moving into stage four, a lot of broad market weakness. And for the bull case, we want to see the opposite happen. And we're just not quite seeing it yet.
Now, from a broad market perspective, if I were to, again, look at the S&P 500 and just overlay a 30-week moving average over it, you can see that there are a number of different times where the 30-week moving average has turned down as there was a sharp decline in the market, but then you could also see a bounce back. So how do you differentiate from what could be an interim peak versus what would be something along the lines of a major peak or top, you know, similar to what we saw in 2007 or even going back to the 2000 tech bubble? So how, you know, what do you use or what do you look at to differentiate, you know, whether we're looking at an interim peak or a major top?
That's a great question. One thing you need to have is an open mind, because like you said, especially with the stock market, the general trend tends to be higher over the long term. So a good majority of these corrections just tend to be shorter term corrections that where the market would go below the 30-week moving average for a short period of time. The damage wouldn't be, it might be a 10 or 15% decline, maybe even up to 20%, but it wouldn't be a significant structural bear market like we saw in 2000 to 2002 or during the 2008 financial collapse. So those are more the exception versus the norm. I would say that, again, one of the things that powers bull markets is leading sectors and leading individual stocks. The market tends to have like a theme to it when it's moving higher. One of the things that happened in 2020 after that brief panic was that the stay-at-home stocks and a lot of growth stocks were IPOing around the same time. And they turned around and started taking volume and actually moving higher while the market was still bottoming out. So you saw a lot of individual stock strength occurring when the market was still trying to find its feet. And that's what led into that big rally in 2020. So what we want to see now is the same type of thing where a new leading sector emerges and there's new leading stocks within that sector that start to buck the trend of the market and start to move higher. And meanwhile, what'll happen is the broader market will start to slow its decline and start to base more, and then it'll break out along with those leading sectors and stocks. So that's why you want to not just look at the stock market indices, but look around the market to individual sectors and stocks and kind of see broadly what's going on. Stan Weinstein calls this the forest to the trees approach. It's also called like looking at the weight of the evidence. What is the overall market telling me? And you know, who's winning the battle between the bulls and bears? So we're constantly weighing this evidence and trying to make our best guess as to what's really going on. So again, those leading sectors and stocks right now just don't seem to be there. Like the energy stocks were the leading sector, but it's probably unlikely that they'll continue to power the market higher for the rest of 2022, because they've already been a leader for a year and a half. So we need something new to take over and help find a footing in this market.
Okay. So if we were to summarize some of the things that we've discussed already, the broad market indices, you know, if we were to look at the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow, all of them are now showing a declining 30-week moving average, which according to Stage Analysis and Stan Weinstein would indicate that we are in a bear market. The indices are also trading well below their 30-week moving average. So technically, perhaps we could say we're oversold, and it would be interesting to see if we can get back up to that 30-week moving average and if that is a point of resistance. But still, the general trend now, Stage Analysis perspective, is stage four decline, bear market on the broad indices. The leading performer, the leading sector, has been energy and commodities, those two areas. But you aren't, you know, it sounds like you're not super bullish on those areas now because, like you said, they've been in stage two now for a very long time. So whether or not that is going to continue and persist for the remainder of this year is questionable in your mind. So at this point, it sounds like you would just be pretty cautious on the overall market outlook. And like you said, at this point, there's not really any stage two breakouts you're seeing. Really, most of the sectors that you're tracking are moving into stage four. So is that a correct characterization of what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's a great characterization. One other thing to kind of look at is there's obviously been a lot of damage in a lot of different areas of the market, in particular growth stocks and technology-oriented stocks. Those stocks, it's possible that they've had a big portion of their decline now, and they might start going into stage one, which is the basing phase, where you get a little bit of buying support in the market, but there's not enough to really move it back into an uptrend. That would be a good sign to see that maybe we're moving further into the bear market, and there's some of this really beaten down stuff is starting to find support. If we did see that in the next few months, then we want to look for those leading sectors to pop up to be the final transition to move back into a more bullish market. So another thing to look at is how is the worst stuff in the market behaving, and is it starting to base out and not go down anymore? That tends to be something that happens as well later in a bear market. So that's something that I would look at. But again, yeah, you just need to see something happening in the market that's bullish, where some kind of new leading sector, more breakouts in individual stocks, maybe they start reacting to earnings better or something else. But that's when you see the tide start to turn between the bulls and the bears. And we're just not seeing that yet. So we just need to have patience and just, you know, wait longer and see how things play out. And obviously things are going to change at some point, but sometimes it takes markets weeks to months to go through these cycles. And we're just not in a bullish configuration right now. So,
yeah. Yeah. And like you're saying, you know, the high growth tech space got hit really hard and it's seen major decline. One of the very common ETFs that are cited as evidence of that is the ARK Innovation ETF. So ARKK, you know, that was getting a lot of attention in 2020. And now that's retraced all of its gains from the 2020 boom. And now it's sitting back at where it was, you know, 2019, 2018. So, yeah, that the high growth tech space has really been hit very hard. So it'll be, like you said, it'll be good to see whether or not we see some stabilization in that area and that stage one basing. So I guess that'll be one key thing to look at. Well, Justin, as we close, I want to thank you for coming on again and giving our listeners an update on what you're seeing from a stage analysis perspective. With that said, can you tell our listeners the various places that they can follow your work?
Sure, Chris, and it's been awesome to be back on the show. I probably post most of my content actually on Twitter, and you can find me, my handle is at NextBigTrade, all one word. My website is nextbigtrade.com. That's where I've written a lot of articles about the stock market, obviously from a stage analysis perspective, and a lot of them showing how I use the system. And this goes back 10 years now, so you can see kind of articles on bull and bear markets that I've written in the past. And then the screening tool that you mentioned is that screener.nextbigtrade.com. That's a software project that basically generates a bunch of data from a stage analysis perspective on understanding what's going on in the markets. And that tool is also publicly available from that URL. And it's a great screening tool to just look through different sectors in the market and look at the market indices and see from a stage analysis perspective where things are at and where things are moving. So, and if you're interested in stage analysis, I've got a page on stage analysis on my website that goes through the system and also links to Stan Weinstein's book, which I would definitely recommend reading. And he's also actually done some interviews in the recent year that I documented one of them in a recent article that you might be interested in.
Yeah, I saw part of that interview, and you know, he's kind of recluse. You don't get to hear him or see him that often, so it was neat to see him come out and provide his perspective. So I appreciate you posting that. And again, you can find that at nextbigtrade.com. Justin, it was a pleasure to speak with you. Look forward to having you on the show again. So today was a very big down day for the markets. The Dow closed down a little over 3%, the S&P a little over 3.5%, and the NASDAQ just over 5%. For the Dow and the NASDAQ, this was the worst one-day decline we've seen since 2020. And if you listen to our interview with Avi Gilbert earlier this week, he's looking at the 3,900 to 4,000 region on the S&P 500 for the next major support target, but did say that he thought these current levels represent a buying opportunity. Jim Paulson as well yesterday thinks we are going to see inflation soften from the current 8.5% level, and that this is going to take some of the pressure off the Fed and will help to remove a lot of the fear that is currently driving investors. That said, there are still some major wild cards that, of course, fall well outside of the scope. Monetary policy, when it comes to China, keeping millions of its citizens on lockdown, which is acting as a significant choke point on all sorts of supplies, since they are the largest manufacturer and exporter in the world. As well, the war in Russia and Ukraine, which aside from the humanitarian crisis in that region, is also having severe ripple effects on food and energy. On that note, that most of everything was down today, oil prices appear to be climbing higher again and briefly traded over $110 a barrel today. Natural gas in particular saw a pretty big move, up 5.5%. So at present, energy, food, and commodities have been the major winners and star outperformers. Those that hedged against the inflationary wave that we are now seeing have done well, but unfortunately, as energy, food, and broader commodities continue to appreciate, this also means rising prices for most everything we buy and need, and also puts further pressure on the Fed to aggressively tighten. I'm hoping that Jim Paulson's more positive outlook is correct, and we do see inflationary pressure start to moderate from the current 8.5% level, but that remains to be seen. If you have any questions or feedback on what we discussed today with Justin Smyth, again at nextbigtrade.com, feel free to send us a message by going to financialsense.com and hitting where it says contact us. If you have any questions about our asset management or financial planning services, you can also send us a message there or by giving us a call at 888-486-3939. For FS Insider, I'm Chris Sheridan. Thanks for listening.
Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.